This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego.
You're marketing abrasiveness, and it's changing talk radio.
The NBA draft is come and gone with no major Celtics moves.
The Boston Celtics select J.D. Davison from the University of Alabama.
Not a shooter. You wonder exactly what his game is.
Are we getting our hopes up for Kevin Durant to come to Boston?
If I'm KD, I'm looking at South Beach.
Could the Seas welcome back a familiar face?
Kemba Walker's back.
Patrice Bergeron returns for one more run.
He's the backbone of our team and the biggest part of our team. So we won with him back.
Andy Hart is in for Fourier.
We got caught up in that D-word.
Jeff Goodman joins us at 420.
How are you declaring that if Milwaukee wins tonight, the Celtics are in serious trouble?
Well, I mean, listen, they'll be down 3-1.
It's Merlone, Fourier, and Mego.
Ron Kramer. What? Oh, Ron Kramer.
A Summer Friday.
Shirts are coming off this summer. It's a perfect time.
On WEEI.
Oh, it is a perfect time. It's a beautiful weekend coming around here in Boston. Welcome to the show, Merlone, Fourier, and Mego. No Folia. We got Andy Hart. What do you say, Andy?
I'm cranky.
Are you cranky today? I like that. Mego? Are you cranky today?
It reeks over here.
Why, what
dude,
happened?
I spilled this Bang energy drink all over my table.
Hashtag
and then I
had
these Clorox wipes. And why do the disinfecting wipes still have to smell like butt?
Are you sure it's that and it's not like Gresh or
Andy?
Keith or anybody?
Oh.
Well, I'm just saying it could be.
Why
they just walked out of the room. Could
have
been
they
anybody.
They were sweaty after four
this
hours
is supposed
radio.
To be a crisp lemon scent.
Mego
and
drops
it
this.
Smells like butt.
She drops this drink. You have to show ID to buy it in the store.
It is.
Do you really?
Look at this. It's a. Not intended for individuals under the age of 18.
It's actually a Four Loko.
It's a who? Not,
I don't know why she's drinking a Four Loko in the studio.
Yeah, that killed people, right?
We start drinking some booze around here. It is a Friday. It's a beautiful Friday. You guys excited about the draft last night?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that was nice. J.D. Davidson, guard out of Alabama. We're going to get to him at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about him a little bit. Jeff Goodman from the stadium. He's going to maybe give us some insight on this player. What he thinks of him, as well as maybe the future of the Boston Celtics and the Kyrie situation. Out in Brooklyn, we're going to talk to him at 4:20, but I want to start there because the Kyrie situation is leading a lot of talks about one, Kevin Durant. Mm. And we threw it around the other day when Kyrie was leaving, saying, "Oh, Celtics fans, you should be concerned because Durant looks like he may go somewhere. If he doesn't come to you, he's going to be probably heading somewhere. It'll affect your chances of winning an NBA title." And a lot of people felt like, nah, I don't want this guy. He's too old. He's too this. And I think Andy Hart feels the same way.
Hand raised.
But then I heard last night, I don't know if you guys saw the draft coverage on NBC Sports Boston, Forsberg, Mina Smith, and Brian Scalabrine. Brian Scalabrine talking about this connection that KD has with Boston. He seems to be kind of in on this. This is what he sounded like.
Kevin Durant, when he was available before the Warriors, he was linked to be with Al Horford. He loves Marcus Smart. He loves Ime Udoka. And he respects Jason Tatum. There's a lot of things going on here.
Sure.
It is not just, the Celtics were good.
There's a lot of real connections.
There's real connections here. So if it comes to the point where, hey, Sean, I'm KD right now, I need to have a meeting with you. You know, if all the teams that are available, I think it's legit that if you talk to the Celtics.
How about that? Legit. He wants KD. You think KD wants the Celtics? Would you be interested, I should say?
Yeah, let's start there. Would you be interested if you're the Celtics?
Wouldn't touch him with a whatever the hell this thing is that I'm holding in my hand that you hit a ball with.
No. Why? Age?
Because he's old. You made him look old and soft. And I don't like the idea of pulling the plug. You're pulling the plug on the current Celtics. This whole idea we've bought into that Tatum's team, Brown is Robin, you got to the finals, you're developing, it's part of the process, I've heard Lou Merlone tell me a number of times, next step in the process is to win it all. You're pulling the plug on that. You are no longer Jason Tatum's team. And how does Jason Tatum react? You pull the carpet out from underneath him. It's his team? Oh, just kidding, we traded JB, he gone. You liked him, maybe, don't know, not sure, but now you got KD who just goes one more rung above you on the ladder. It's KD's team, right? Because he's looking to drive a bus. That's all I've heard for weeks. He needs to be the bus driver to, you know, figure out his legacy and win a title on his own. I hate the idea of pulling the plug, and I'm not even the biggest Tatum fan.
Andy, I think you are flat out tripping.
Why?
If you think that they brought Kevin Durant in here, that Tatum would be like, oh, you brought Kevin Durant in here, I'm so mad.
I think he would be.
No, I don't. He'd be like, okay,
let me ask you a question.
Let's go. Let's cruise back to the finals.
Let's just say when you joined WEEI in this time slot, It was called The Mego Show. Just okay. The Mego Show. That's what it was
that
called.
That would be pretty weird. But if I had...
But let's just... No, that was the way.
Okay.
But and then 6 months, Mego a year... With- No, just Mego, and you guys were just rotating peons.
But we didn't get the and. We didn't get the and. We got the with. You're Mego not, with these other two Scrabinis.
And then a year later, 2 years later, by the way, you're doing pretty good in the ratings. They go, oh, just wanted to tell you, it's no longer the Mego Show. It's Merloni Fourier with Mego.
Ooh.
How you feel about that?
Well, if Merloni and Fourier are coming from another market, and they have one of the highest rated shows in their history of that in the country, then I'm saying, let's go. Let's get that money.
Oh, even though your show was doing really well in the ratings.
Yeah, who gives a crap? We're going to get even better.
Maybe.
We're going to get even bigger ratings.
Or maybe the chemistry sucks.
I mean, honestly,
sucks.
Andy, who
maybe
gives
your
a crap?
Show is now third.
Well, I'm willing to take that chance.
You're
if
full
I'm,
of it.
I am, Andy, I promise you I'm not, okay? If this goes out to management, if there's ever a situation when they're like, hey, we have this person who's really, really freaking good, and they're proven as being really good,
old.
And they've dominated, and they're a little bit older than you, but you want to come in and try this out, I'd be like, hey, let's go.
So the details, basically.
I like winning, Andy.
Yeah. KD,
I don't give a crap about my own ego.
Oh, you mean like going to the NBA Finals and being basically a game away?
Yeah.
And that's what the Celtics were.
Let's go back and win it.
Okay, so let's go back and win it with Jason Tatum and the core that you built. Because you're pulling the plug. All I've heard is Wick Grosbeck come to this station.
I just think that is a really
silly way. The pillars for a decade.
That's a really silly way to think that Jason Tatum would approach it, especially when he's 24 years old. We're not talking about
realistic.
A 29 or 30-year-old who's like, this is my team. I've been here for years and years. Did Paul Pierce say, why are you bringing in Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen?
No, because he couldn't win.
Yeah, well, guess what? Tatum
he was
hasn't won
of going
yet either.
Elsewhere instead of
so
winning here.
So let's not have that happen with Tatum.
And isn't this what happened a few years ago when Kyrie and Gordon Hayward were hurt? Young guys played, and then when they got usurped because the old guys were back, they didn't feel good?
So that is a more interesting argument to me.
It's all the same argument. When people are the lead dog and then no longer the lead dog, especially in the same place, it doesn't go well.
I say you definitely kick the tires on Kevin Durant if that is a realistic possibility, which for the other side of the equation, I don't think it is. From Kevin Durant's perspective, I don't think he wants to be here. But I say you go out and kick the tires because that is still a top three player in this league. Absolutely. Maybe top two. And if you don't, you're silly. But I think that it would be the possibility of a real elbow chemistry-wise. Because if you listen to what former teammates of Durant say about him. Kendrick Perkins was just on J.J. Redick's podcast talking about the weird chemistry that went on in Oklahoma City with Durant and how he has a bit of this lone wolfness to him. And I'm not sure if from a chemistry perspective I want to throw that in this grooving locker room right now.
Well, as far as that goes, Perk talking about that, it's like KD was pretty young and he's playing with Harden and Westbrook. So which one's crazier? If you were to rank the craziness in that threesome. You know, I think Harden, is he the easiest guy to play with? How about Westbrook?
I think Harden's the craziest
right.
out of
so
all.
Right, so I don't know if they didn't get along because KD was right and those other two guys were out there.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this. KD's going to be 34 in September. He's got 4 years left. I think 195, in
sweet.
That range.
That's $50
so
million a year.
It's a huge deal.
Sweet.
Which is why we sort of laughed at. Like, listen, I don't know if he's top two or three anymore, in my opinion. I know he's top 10 most likely. But we threw this poll out there because Tyler came up with it early. And he threw up Marcus Smart, Al Horford, Grant Williams, and 3 first-round picks. No Jaylen Brown involved.
Right.
So now you're playing with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Kevin Durant.
I like that better.
You lose Horford, Grant, Marcus Smart. And who cares about the 3 first-round picks, to be perfectly honest with you? Like, who cares? 47% of the people said Celtics say no on that deal.
I voted.
Did you say no?
Yes, I voted no.
Why would the Celtics say no to that? Now all of a sudden you like it. Why would you say no to that?
No, I would say no to Kevin Durant. I think he's a dink. I still think the personality thing is the biggest thing. And yes, he won. Yes, they made it work in Golden State, won multiple titles. But I think it's different when you have Steph Curry. Steph Curry was established. Steph Curry was very confident. Steph Curry is a certain personality, not to mention Draymond Green and the rest that went into it. We talk a lot about chemistry here, and I think Brad even mentioned this yesterday or whenever he spoke about the chemistry, and we've built an identity. Like, you're tearing all of that down.
Don't they always say that, though?
Yes, they do, and there's some truth to it, but you're tearing down whatever you are as the Celtics, correct? Because, like, this is a whole whole new situation. It's KD's team. He's the star. He's a top three player. Although I thought Jason Tatum was a top five player.
I've never said that.
Well, the NBA did. Yeah, the All-NBA team did. Mm-hmm. Right? That's a fact.
Those writers who voted on it did.
So do you now have two top five players?
Why are you so hesitant to put him in the top five? Like he's, you know, he's on the
Celtics. I still don't think he's a top five player.
Yeah.
Did you watch the series?
Why?
Against the Celtics?
Why? Because he's on the Celtics?
No. I'm just saying, like, it's just, yeah, I don't know. He's like, they list him as a top five. I think it's a great accomplishment. I think he's, yeah, listen, they put him in the top five. He's a top five. Guy wins a Cy Young. I don't sit there and say, well, they screwed up the vote. You know, I don't know. He's a Cy Young award winner. Yeah. The MVP.
They get it wrong sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
Or circumstances get it wrong. You know, the whole positionless
thing. So because of what you saw in the finals, you don't think he's a top five player? Or you just didn't think it even at the end of the year when you saw him play the way he did?
It's so hard because you get caught up in when he plays the way he did. You're right. I got caught up in both of those.
Yeah.
I get caught up in the good play the way he did, and then I get caught up in the egg that he laid.
Well, you didn't get a chance to see Luka suck in the finals.
That's
or
true.
Embiid suck in the finals. Or anybody else,
absolutely
Jokic
true.
Suck in the finals and lay eggs.
I also don't know why he got to the finals. Because at one point it was because of the bench, then they lost because of the bench, but it was him that got him there, but then it wasn't his fault that they lost. So the narrative, I need an update. The bigger issue, though, is Durant the dink. Do you want Durant the dink? Because can we agree he's kind of a dink?
I think he's a dink, obviously, on social media. He's very sensitive, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know how it is. Yeah, he's a dink. He's our dink. And now we like
sure.
him. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Belichick's
like,
a dink.
He's a great player. So I think you're bringing him here, I would do it in a heartbeat. Absolute heartbeat.
And
because
you have
I
no
think
fear
he's fantastic.
Of ruining Tatum.
I'm not ruining Tatum, I don't think. I think
that
he plays with him. I think he looks
argument,
up to him.
Steve.
I think he helps Tatum. I think
Did
he would
Randy
help Tatum
Moss
get to the next
ruin
level.
Ruin Tom Brady?
Absolutely.
No, he's Tom Brady. Are we calling Tatum
like, it's different
Brady?
Because, like, Steph Curry, that group already won a championship, right?
Yeah.
When KD showed. But what did they do the first 2 years he was there? They won two back-to-back.
So,
I mean, it's
on Steph's team.
That's fine. And, you know, but, I mean, Steph's team, I still think KD was probably the better player at that point.
He was the best player
he
on
was.
This team.
So it was still like, so it could still be Steph's team, but KD was the better player. So whose team really was it? So if you're just going to say he's the best player. So if he's better than Jason Tatum, doesn't necessarily mean it's Kevin Durant's team. He already played on one that you could argue that it was Steph's team.
And I can also be honest with this. The idea of Jalen Brown traded for Durant, I like a lot less than Jalen Brown stays
well,
and
we're gonna
I
get
still
to that.
Get
yeah,
Kevin
I would
Durant.
Love to get to that after trending.
We are going to get to that because when we come back after this, Brian Scalabrine, as we mentioned on Boston Sports Tonight last night on their draft show special, brought up that scenario, maybe what it would take or what he'd be willing to part for one Kevin Durant. You will hear that next. It's Maloney, Fourier, and Mego. You hear it coming up next. More Celtics.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Sources tell me that Kevin Durant is seriously mulling his future options with the Nets. He's been monitoring the situation over the last several weeks, the last several months, and there's an expectation that Kyrie Irving will now proceed shortly into finding a new home via an opt-in and trade potential situation. And there are several teams that he would likely consider. Some of them I reported earlier this week. When you look at the Lakers, the Knicks, the Clippers, those are three suitors that are expected to emerge out of probably several teams that would have interest in acquiring Kyrie Irving via sign and trade. The Nets have until June 29th to come up with an opt-in and trade that would allow the team to get some sort of value for Kyrie Irving.
That was Shams Charania. He was on the stadium last night with our guest, Jeff Goodman, actually, who's going to join us at 4:20, talking about this Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving situation. June 29th. That's the deadline, so it's right around the corner here. Well, what, a week away? What is today, the 24th?
Yes, 24th. Less than a week away, 5 days.
It's a countdown to implosion.
Is that next Wednesday then? Does that make that next Wednesday? So next Wednesday we'll find out more about Kyrie's future, which could lead to one Kevin Durant's future as well in Brooklyn. So as I mentioned before, T's going to the break. Brian Scalabrine was on the draft show last night at NBC Sports Boston. And he got into talking about Kevin Durant and maybe what it would take to get him, what he'd be willing to give up. This is what it sounded like.
If there's traction and Kevin Durant goes to management, there is no better team out there than the Boston Celtics, if you're the Brooklyn Nets, to make this move.
Scal, do you think that they would do that, where they would take Jaylen Brown and put at the Celtics, that they would put him out there to get a Kevin Durant?
Okay. Would the Celtics? Yeah.
You think they would?
It's Durantula.
I mean, I know it's Durantula, but I'm just saying, the
So, according to Brian Scalabrine, not only would he include Jaylen Brown, but he made it sound like the Celtics? Yeah, they would. Now, I don't know if that's, like, inside information And it's not like you're just giving away, like, oh, that means they're down on Jaylen Brown. They're going to trade him. No, for Kevin Durant, maybe they'd think about it. But, see, I'm not big on that. I don't know. I don't know. Jaylen Brown, like, I don't know. The other trade that he threw out there before, I was like, okay, cool. But Kevin Durant is a great player, but I kind of lean towards you when we start talking about Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown you're talking about potentially. Now, obviously, you'll have to re-sign him. It's not like he's under contract for the next decade, but you could have a decade of Jaylen Brown compared to 3 good years for Kevin Durant. He's 34, 35.
The problem is, I'm thinking, it's like, I'd like to have him here, but I do believe that Jaylen Brown is probably the only way you can get him here.
Yes.
So,
but the bigger issue with me is the way that Scal was talking. And I'm sorry, I always assume he talks from a position of some sort of knowledge.
Insight.
Yes, as a team insider, NBC Sports Boston, the ties, does the games, talks to people, is generally overly cautious and positive. Can we say that? When he's talking Celtics, he's generally overly cautious and positive.
Yes.
Okay. He was not overly cautious or positive with Jaylen Brown. Yeah, they would. Like, and when he brought up the relationships, he brought up Marcus Smart and Al Horford and Jason Tatum, almost including, like, yeah, Brown, doesn't matter whether Durant has any interest in Brown because Brown's gone as part of the deal. That makes me wonder, does he know something? Because Jaylen Brown, at some point, he's got a good contract. At some point, he's going to need another contract. What does he want? Does he even want to be here long term? I'm getting more into the whole locker room dynamics. Does he want to be Robin? Does he look at it and say, wait a minute, our season was on the line, and Batman, the real, I'm talking about Tatum, by the way, not Grant Williams, Batman over there.
Please don't make it confusing.
Was doing nothing while I was scoring 34. I was matching Steph Curry. Maybe if that guy over there, whose team this is, did his job, we would have won a title. But me, little old me, who gets no respect, I'm not all NBA, I'm barely an all-star once, is there just a transitional evolution, and they're like, wait a minute, I see where this is going. If I can turn Jaylen Brown, who might be starting to go down the road of look for his own, I got to look out for me, Jaylen Brown, and I can swap him for Durant, you get ahead of the curve.
Mega, would you deal Kevin Durant for Jaylen Brown?
This year, yes. And that's not to disrespect Jaylen Brown at all, but it's just he's not in the same stratosphere as Kevin Durant as a basketball player. And yeah, you could have Jaylen Brown for 10 years. But you could get Kevin Durant and get a championship next year. I really believe that. That's the caliber of player he is. I think recency bias is playing against you guys on this because of the sweep in the first round and how Tatum was able to handcuff Durant, and Durant looked like he rolled over and gave up. And that was an ugly thing to watch. But yeah, I'm absolutely trading Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant. Get
twice
out of
as
here.
Much money.
I don't care for
I
that
know,
tone.
I know.
Twice
but
as much
But here's
money.
The thing. I can't, like, when I sit here and I say that I want to see ownership pay more than they've paid over the last, I guess we're now talking 9 years, with the exception of that one 2017-2018 year when they had the Hayward and Irving contracts on there. Like, that was the only time that they've gone into the luxury tax since 2013. If I'm saying I want you to pay some money, then I want a player coming in who's going to really shake it up.
Short
I mean, look,
term.
And here's the other side of it, guys. You know, then you have to wonder, okay, if he's not coming to you, where is he going? And if he's staying in the Eastern Conference, that's not a happy place
for you trying to get back to the finals. That's more of the realistic concern. Because, so you got to come up with another $18 million on top of Jaylen Brown, right? I mean, so I'm just saying, it's Jaylen Brown plus to go get Kevin Durant. I think it's great to talk about it because I'd love to have him here. I think it'd be fantastic. I actually think it'd be good for Jason Tatum, to be honest with you.
How?
Because I think it would be good for the Celtics because they would get to the finals.
I think he's like a mentor. I think he could learn a lot. He could actually help his game go to a different level playing with him every day and just learning from a guy like Kevin Durant.
Teach him to be more sensitive and get on Twitter and fight with people.
Oh, that crap's not real.
Yeah, but
Come on.
More realistic side of it is you better be concerned where he ends up. You better hope that he sits there because I've heard a little bit like this isn't necessarily KD automatically leaving if Kyrie Irving is gone. It's just who do they replace Kyrie Irving with? I mean, if you still have Kyrie Irving, I mean, Kevin Durant, if you still have Ben Simmons, if you still have some of these guys like Joe Harris as well, others, you're like, okay, just replace Kyrie. He's kind of a mess. He only played half the season anyways. Get him more a
but
point
he's
guard.
Good.
He's very good.
You don't just replace Kyrie.
No, you got to get somebody. You know, you got to bring somebody else in. You still have Kevin Durant. Somebody wants to play with Kevin Durant. So it would just be like, who am I trading him with? I'm going to get something back. I got to replenish this team. Your best bet is that KD is happy in Brooklyn with somebody else that they bring in. He stays right where he is.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. In a funny way, because the whole thing was, oh, look out for the Nets. Look out for the Nets. You don't want to play the Nets. The Nets are going to be dangerous come playoff time. And we learned they were not dangerous at all. Kevin Durant was not dangerous. They were not dangerous as a team. Are they more dangerous broken up if they both end up in the East?
Yes.
Say Kyrie and KD are broken up, but both end up in Philly and Miami.
You heard Perk, you know, earlier, even in our open, talking about if I'm KD, I'm looking at South Beach.
Yeah, can we hear that again?
I mean, because I don't want any part of that.
If he's going down with Jimmy Butler, then I'm probably more scared of that than this current net setup.
Because if Kyrie happened to end up with the Lakers, that's going to be great for the league.
Yep.
And if KD go wherever I think he might go, which I think if I'm KD, I either consider, you ready for this? If I'm KD, I'm looking at South Beach.
That's your concern.
Yeah. If I'm KD, I'm looking at South Beach.
And that's your concern. You know, I'm just saying that's what you should be concerned with. And that's why the talk of him coming here is a good thing because you don't want him to, and we said it before, he would never want to go to Milwaukee. But I don't know. Do they sit there and say, I got Giannis and I got one guy that takes it to the rim that can't be stopped and, oh, we kick it out to KD.
Yeah.
I got another big I got two bigs. I have 2 7-footers out there playing offense and defense. One drives to the hoop. One takes the 3-point shots. Like that's not something you want to deal with. Now, can it all happen? I don't know how the hell these teams free up money, but they do. They usually find ways to do it if they want to.
Correct.
But to flip it on the other side, it's also like, okay, so KD's going to go wherever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he wants to come to Boston because of the history of last year. We heard him say, you know, backing up Kyrie when Kyrie was talking about racism in the fan base at games at TD Garden. And he's in the background, KD saying the whole world knows it. I don't think he's very into the idea of playing here. He's had the opportunity to come here before and has never wanted to have it as his destination.
But weren't they the runner-up?
Yeah,
the runner-up?
According to Hoomst.
I don't know. That was the reports, right? Tom Brady almost had him hooked. He was trying to set the lure with that whole recruiting trip. Now, and the flip side of that is, like, I agree with you. I think it's hard for somebody to basically say a city is racist and then be like, yeah, but I want to go play there.
Right.
And then the flip side is...
I was just kidding.
But the flip side is from us frauds.
Yeah.
Frauds, Lou. Your city called you racist and you're like, yeah, I want him.
Yeah.
It's okay. Water under the bridge. Mm-hmm. He called us racist, but boy, guy can score.
Yeah. I look at it as like we can prove that we are a warm community.
Frauds. That's what we can prove.
A welcome community, KD. We will love you. You'll find out what it's all about.
I wouldn't even want to watch them anymore. We had somebody on the Twitch stream saying he'd rather lose with Tatum and Brown than win with KD.
You're lying on the radio right now, Andy.
I'm with him.
You wouldn't watch the Celtics with Kevin Durant on it?
I would watch, but I would feel dirty because I hate him. I dislike him.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Kevin Garnett say similar things before, reasons why he never wanted to come to Boston? Because he talked to Bill Russell about some of the racial stuff in the past, and that's one of the reasons why he said he would never come to Boston.
And then
he said he's Mr. Celtics.
He wished he had gotten there earlier.
Yeah. So
that's what I mean. You bring KD, you show him that we are this welcoming community. We are not racist.
Oh, I'm getting more and more into it, to be quite honest. I'm getting more and more into it.
Oh, you are. You're
yeah,
starting
I am.
To like
I'm
it now,
like, okay, let's.
Well, you
go.
Know
let's
you
get
shouldn't.
The, let's get the trade package together.
We're
okay?
just playing radio.
I know, but I'm getting Lou's getting
Keyshawn
me excited.
Says.
Okay,
yeah, I like that. Okay, so listen. So KD, we'll continue some of that conversation. We do want to talk about the draft last night because it was boring. And by the way, we're going to get to Patrice Bergeron.
It was boring. Wow.
Yeah, Bergeron's announcement or Joe McDonald's announcement. We'll get to that in our next segment, but. So last night, the Boston Celtics, we talked about it going in, what we don't want them to do or what we want them to do would be a big mistake. They didn't trade anybody away. They didn't make any trades, for that matter. The reason why I say it's boring, because they just sat at 53, and they traded for, I mean, they drafted, rather, this Alabama guard, J.D. Davison.
Yeah.
Fantastic hair.
Yeah.
Fantastic hair. But it's like, I always wonder, this kid, he's like 6'3 guard. Billis, rather, right? I always say that guy's name wrong. Jay Billis. This is what he had to say about J.D. Davison after the Celtics selected him.
With the 53rd pick in the 2022 NBA draft, the Boston Celtics select J.D. Davison from the University of Alabama.
A freshman guard from the University of Alabama. He's one of four Division I freshmen to record 250 points, 125 rebounds, and 125 assists, Jay.
Well, J.D. Davison is a small guard, but he's really explosive.
With big hair.
Yeah, he does have big hair, doesn't he? But can really get off the floor. Very good in transition. Had some turnover issues. Is not a shooter. You wonder exactly what his game is, but you know, he is spectacularly athletic, and he had some big-time finishes, including a huge tip dunk. I think it was against Houston late in the game. But he is athletically... just off the charts, just a small guard.
Is there a chance Brad Stevens drafted this guy for Bill Belichick? Just like, Bill, why don't you come down and practice?
He is from Alabama, right?
I got an athlete.
He's a Bama guy.
Saban. See, maybe this kid can play some. Oh, 6'3", what do you think, safety?
I would take him in anything, because if you watch him jump out the gym, like, he has the athletic ability, but then you start to look into the statistics.
Not a shooter. You wonder exactly what his game is, but...
No field goal shooting, not a good free throw shooter. His assist to turnover ratio, very
close. Was
that
a groan from Jay Billis when they announced it?
Somebody groaned.
Somebody groaned, right? They're like, ugh. Right?
Yeah, I heard that.
Did you hear
from
that?
The University of Alabama.
Mm. Yeah, right there.
Mm. Might have been Perk.
Mm. Mm. Somebody.
That's just Perk breathing.
Of Alabama.
So listen, I get it.
This is your pick, though. This is a stash and develop and 2 years in Maine and see what you are.
It's quite a project.
Yeah, but wingspan, you know, he's got the whole thing.
Can we read a little bit of this? Yes. This is from Synergy Sports?
I don't know. NBA, 2022 NBA draft, the little bio. Or scouting report, I should say.
Okay. Davison's 28% turnover percentage will be the highest of any player drafted in the past decade, as being thrown straight into the gauntlet of SEC defenses has been a definite learning experience. So he already sounds like he'll fit in with this
Perfect.
Team.
Perfect. 28%.
Okay. How about this? Offense has been somewhat of a challenge for him.
Oh, boy.
12.7 points per 40 is the second lowest of any college player currently projected to be drafted. His ball handling ability is a major work in progress.
Oh boy.
As he struggled considerably to generate efficient shots for himself in pick and roll and one-on-one situations in the season, clearly not looking ready to be a primary creator at this level of competition.
Playmaker.
That's compounded by his struggles shooting off the dribble, as he's hit just 24%. That's 8 for 34 of his pull-up jumpers this season, according to Synergy Sports Technology.
So they're looking for playmakers. They got a guy that turns the ball over, can't dribble, and can't shoot.
It's a project.
Can I ask you a question?
You should like this. He's not going to be in the mix.
Let me ask you a question. So he's 19 years old. Yes. He's a freshman. Why is he in the draft? Like, with the NILs, can't he make a couple of bucks at Alabama? Like, why is this kid in the draft? Why isn't he going back his sophomore year, working
NBA.
On his handle, not turning it over more than 25% of the time, maybe working on a jump shot? He's desperate to go to the G League?
Yeah, he wants
Didn't
to play in Maine.
Didn't you think, like, NILs would kind of keep a player like this? Maybe he can make $100,000 down there playing hoop.
Maybe he doesn't want to go to class.
Well,
think of that?
Maybe he's not
he
a great kid.
He doesn't have to do that in Maine.
I don't know, but why?
He can shoot and play basketball and get better at his craft, get good coaching. You should love this pick. This is what you were calling for yesterday. Somebody who is just forget about him for 2 years and come talk to me after they go through
this.
A couple veterans that they bring
yes,
in.
Yes, the type, the project that's going to be 2 or 3 years, I get it.
Did you
I
watch just, the highlights?
I just, yeah, I saw him dunk and block shots.
How do you not like it?
Good.
Yeah, that block was ridiculous.
I didn't want them to draft somebody that turns the ball, it's a guard that turns the ball over at a ridiculous
rate. Almost 30%.
He can't dribble.
Are you going to go to Maine's games? Because if you're not, then it doesn't matter.
They just drafted a kid because he can jump.
Yes. I like it.
I would rather them draft some 6'10 guy from like France or overseas in Europe.
You don't like athleticism?
That is like 19 and weighs a buck 10 and is going to fill out, because, but at least he can shoot. Like I need, like, the best trait for an NBA prospect should not be jump.
Why? The rim is 10 feet high.
It should be something else.
You'll be able to jump to get up there.
Shouldn't it be something else?
Well, yeah,
explosive.
I think it's a great quality to have, a great natural ability to have. I would like it to be supplemented by some other skill sets.
Like, those are coming.
Like dribbling the ball.
That will be coming.
Especially ones that perhaps your current team is struggling
with. So you get
recruited,
you're like, JD, listen, you're going to be in the league. You are? Yep, because you can jump. I mean, you can't dribble, pass, or shoot, but you can jump. You're 6'3".
All the rest will come.
What are we doing here?
You can teach the rest.
Yeah.
Can't teach the jumping.
Not sure what happened his freshman year at Bama, because he was actually the 13th best recruit coming out of high school.
Oh, yeah.
Number 3 point guard, number 1 player in the state of Alabama. So he was a great high school player, but maybe just a great high school player playing against like smaller schools and just dominating.
Yeah, he was a small school player. His school had like 200 people or something.
Everybody's good in high school.
Public high school.
Well, no. Find his junior year, they won the state title. And he had like a quadruple double with like 30 points, 11 blocks. Like, he is a freak athlete that, yes, probably
were
dominated.
They all dunks?
Probably.
Yeah, and some of these highlights, he's the tallest player on the court at 6'3", 175.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He
yeah.
finishes lobs well.
He's 6'3".
Yeah, but he plays bigger. Wingspan is like 6'6", right? Find that. His wingspan's 6'6".
Incredible. I'm all for it.
When you play above the rim and you got long arms, it's good.
Did you guys watch any of it?
I'm actually built like that, too.
Yeah, look at her.
My wingspan is longer than my height.
She was a Division I athlete.
I know. I like that.
He knows.
So, wait, did you guys watch the coverage at all? Like, did you stay up? It was, what, 12:15 they drafted this guy?
I didn't stay up that late. I watched it at a bar.
You did?
Yeah,
12:15. So, I always find it interesting. It's kind of like when you see like NCAA tournament and they have Charles Barkley covering the NCAA tournament and you're like, Charles ain't watching no damn college basketball.
No.
Perk. Like Perk. Like I see Perk out there and Billis out there. You know, Billis is like breaking these guys down. And Perk is just, like, what are we?
Personality. He's just to bring a little personality. Tell a story.
But like, they're like comparing him to other players. They're like, oh, who's this guy remind you of? Oh, does he remind you of this guy? Like how much?
No, like, he hasn't watched.
Perk's all over the NBA.
Yeah.
All over the NBA. I mean, I'm sure he probably watches college basketball a little bit too, right? But still, it's like, don't you kind of want someone to really just watch these guys throughout their careers and, you know, and kind of pull out some of that stuff, like what they were in high school and where, like that, what Tyler was just talking about? Well, you know, he was one of the big recruits coming out of college in his class. Nothing. Perk's just like, you love Oklahoma City. I mean, that's what he's talking about.
Perk's like, I see a lot of Kevin Durant in this guy. He's got like 12 different players.
John Morant.
He's a mix of Giannis Antetokounmpo and Tracy McGrady.
That guy's pretty tall, and he has big hands.
This is sneaky popular with the kids, you know. Like, I had no
interest. The NBA draft?
Yeah. Like, teenagers? I had a baseball game after I left here last night, and none of the kids were focused on the baseball game. They all had their phones out, and they were literally like, hey, Woj says this guy's going at, like, they were screaming across the field, just absolutely focused on the draft via their Twitter.
Speaking of Adrian Wojnarowski, now we all know he's like him and Shams. Like they go back and forth. I missed the whole Twitter beef back and forth, by the way. I don't know if they were going back and forth on who's going to be picked and everything else. I know Woj kind of messed up the number one pick at Jabari Smith going one earlier in the day. But you guys see when they put him on TV? Does he not do TV for ESPN?
Woj? He does a fair amount.
Yeah, he does.
He looked like he had never done TV before in his entire life.
I think he was just
like
excited.
He was scared. Like, he looked like he literally has never been on TV before. And he kept bouncing. Did you notice he kept bouncing?
Probably a lot going on.
Every fourth word, he'd bounce up. He'd be like, this, you know, the Pistons are trading away a 13th pick. And he'd bounce it up.
That was probably, he's probably got 3 phones in his pocket. And they're all buzzing. He's getting texts. And they're a little distracted.
But Shefty's like, you know, Shefty's on TV.
Well, he's
this
the
guy
best.
Does TV before. He looked like he'd never been on TV. Okay, wow. He's nervous as hell.
He looked scared. Yeah, he looked really scared.
Very
which is weird for a guy with multi-million followers.
Thank
interviews
you.
Every day, SportsCenter.
Thank you. Wow. So on every single day in SportsCenter, he looked nervous as hell last night.
A lot of perfection in this room.
Right.
No,
well,
if
you did you see him?
I didn't actually.
So. I'm talking to 2 people that didn't even see him. So you guys
I
are
saw.
All over me about the reaction.
Yeah, it was very critical. He never had a bad hit for NBC
no,
Sports
he
Boston.
No, he was awkward. Tyler saw the thing. Tyler agrees with me. All right, listen. Coming up, Patrice Bergeron. Apparently, he is coming back. We'll talk about what it means for the Boston Bruins. We'll do it next.
Bergeron throws the check. Lindholm will go back for it. People wondering about the future of Patrice Bergeron. Should this game go south for Boston? Certainly a possibility. This will be the final game of Bergeron's brilliant career. And for everyone in Boston, hoping the captain comes back for at least one more season.
I hated hearing that, Steve Levy. It's game 7, I believe, against Carolina when he started talking about the last few minutes about Bergeron not coming back. Because you always feel like the guys that do the games have, like, the inside scoop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're in there, they're covering the series, they're talking to people, and you're like, oh, no, I don't like it when people do that. But last night, 10.07 p.m., Joe McDonald, Worcester Telegram Gazette, tweeted out, hearing Patrice Bergeron has decided to return, likely on a one-year deal with the Boston Bruins. So Patrice Bergeron looks like he is back. And I feel like people are excited he's back, but I also feel like there's a group of people saying, oh, great, it's just sort of prolonging a rebuild, right? Personally, I'm glad he's back because I don't want the rebuild to start right now. You know what I'm saying? I don't want it to start right now because if he left, we're talking about what the dominoes falling and it's just new coach is pasta out of here. So at least Bergeron is back. So at least you know your Boston Bruins will be back here next year, whether you think it's enough or not.
Yeah, I do understand the mentality of to what end. All right, you made the playoffs, and then you got bumped from the playoffs. Why am I to believe it's going to be any better next year? Why am I not just believing that I'm spinning my tires as a Bruins fan? Right? Like, I can understand that. But at the same time, he's still a pretty good hockey player.
Yeah.
And you still maybe can talk yourself into being a pretty good hockey team. Like, let's just say Swayman gets better. Like, we talked a lot yesterday about can teams just naturally get better by growth of young players, by development of young players. Let's just say Swayman is no questions asked, your number one goalie next year, plays at a high level. Isn't that team better? And now you're happy you have Patrice Bergeron as part of that team rather than, oh, we rushed into some, let's run this guy out of town and rush into a rebuild. Like, remember we watched The Last Dance and it was like, yep, we're blowing it up. We're going into a rebuild. And then the Bulls were rebuilding forever. Like, yeah. Sometimes it seems smart to get into the rebuild process. Sometimes you're, you know, careful what you get into because you could be in it for a really long time. So, yeah, you're adding a season of entertaining hockey.
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't really understand how somebody could be upset that he's coming back, that they get to see him play in a Bruins uniform another year. I wonder how much it had to do with Cassidy leaving. I was kind of surprised that we learned as early as we did that it wasn't something that we heard, you know, even a month later or a couple weeks later. And having the Cassidy news just a couple weeks ago, and then, you know, following the news about all these guys dealing with the surgeries going mm-hmm. into the season, like, it makes me think that Bergeron is more optimistic about the direction, whatever direction they're going in with, whatever coach they're going to hire, and where they're going to be next year. You know, that now Cassidy's gone, he's going to come back. I don't know how you don't draw some kind of line between
So you're tying them. Those two together.
Yeah.
Because there
not?
Were definitely whispers slash wonderings,
I'm not saying, like,
rumblings.
He was like, I'm not coming back unless Cassidy's gone. But it's clear that Cassidy leaving didn't make him go, okay, now I'm going to retire.
Yeah, didn't push him into retirement. Right. Like, whoa, if we don't have a coach, I might as well just call it a career. No, yeah. He decided I still want to play.
Now, Bergeron is out on vacation, so it looks like Donnie Sweeney's going to meet with him next week. I saw this from Matt Porter in the Globe. Bergeron plans to meet with the Bruins regarding his future. The hockey world is speculating that he will return. Several well-connected sources told the Globe this week that they believe Bergeron has decided to give another shot, as the Worcester Telegram Gazette reported that as well. That was Joe McDonald. He says one source with close knowledge of the team's search for a new coach said the Bruins decision-makers were hopeful, quote, I think everyone felt like he was going to come back, unquote. So I don't know if the new search, you know, if Cassidy being gone is leading to Bergeron coming back. You know, I think they're closer to being a really good team, obviously, with him on it, because I don't know where it was going to go before. So
correct.
When you start talking about a whole year of Lindholm, you know, with McAvoy getting healthy, I understand there's some injuries, you know, McAvoy and Marchand being out, but also in Grizzly, Carlo, you just, when you throw Lindholm in there, you're like, okay, your top 4D, you feel pretty good about. It's still the same problem. And everybody keeps going to David Krejci, you know, as the solution, you know, and it's like, I don't know. I don't know if. I don't think he liked Cassidy. You know, he took some shots at Cassidy even during the season while he's over in the Czech Republic. You know, oh, now Pasta can jump on the second line. He was there with me for 2 or 3 days, and then Bruce would keep moving him. So would that bring him back? Like, hey, you're on that second line with Pasta and Taylor Hall. You know, and that line could be something special, and that's your second line. They still have the same issue. Now Coyle goes back to that third line. So you know, when you say, like, it's the same team coming back, they got to find a second-line center. It's the same issue they've had since Krejci has left. If they did that, then you could start talking about this team making some possible noise.
With him coming back and Cassidy gone.
And maybe it's not even Krejci, maybe it's somebody else.
Well, yeah, any chance you think Krejci's coming back from the Czech Republic?
I don't know. I know that he loves it over there. I know that he wants to raise his children in Czech Republic. I know he really enjoyed his time. I also know he's close to these guys over here. So I don't know right now, you know, and I've known some people tied in with that situation, and it's kind of up in the air. I know a lot of people speculating whether he would or not, but I'm not so sure, you know, what the deal is, you know, with David Krejci right now. But
he's
also
36. Like, I wanted to look that up. Like, your savior is not exactly a spring chicken.
Well, that's what Ryan always talks about. You know, he's like, he doesn't want David Krejci. He wants somebody else like David Krejci, you know, to come in the organization to actually
be here
for a while, right? Because if Krejci does come back, whatever, and you got, this is the whole thing, like one last run at it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Pasta's like, no, I'm not going to re-up because I'm not sure if Patrice is coming back. Dave may go back to the Czech Republic, you know, and I don't know what's going to happen with Masha in a few years. Like, what am I going to do? How much are you going to pay me? So if it's just for 1 year and all of a sudden Bergeron doesn't pull a Char and say, let's go year to year and says, this is really it. And all of a sudden Pasta leaves. That's where the Bruins fan comes out and says, you're just delaying it for a year.
Right.
Did you guys see this? Matt Porter tweeted this. Tuukka from the Boston Globe. Tuukka was skating at the Boston Pride hockey scrimmage.
He's coming
using
back.
Bergeron skates, McAvoy's stick.
We're not doing this again, are we?
Just saying.
Bergeron's coming back. I don't.
Maybe Krejci's coming back. Are the boys
now we're putting
back
the
together?
Band back together. The band is old.
Bringing back Tuukka? Yeah,
it's
I don't
like
see
the Rolling Stones?
Yeah, not good.
I don't see that
final
happening.
Farewell tour?
Yeah, I'm not looking for that. I think that derailed last season, the way it, Swayman's development.
I think it is good. I think it's good that he's coming back, though. I think it's a good thing for the Bruins. I don't want to see that guy retire.
You know what this feels a little bit like is this NBA-ification that we were all talking about with the NFL, with the quarterbacks, is it trickling into hockey? Like, you know, Pasta's going to decide where he wants to. Like, didn't it just used to be their hockey players, they show up, they put their skates on and they play?
Oh, yeah, and they eat their lunches out of a lunch pail. And
now all of a sudden it's like, I'm a star player. I'm gonna figure out what star players you put around me and decide where I want to go align with other star players.
To your point, even when
they want to win.
How about this with the Bruce Cassidy firing? We were saying that you know, the report coming out of it, we're like, wow. It's the first time I've actually looked at NHL players like they think their coach is too hard on them.
Right.
Like it's not like an NHL thing. It's not what hockey players do.
Maybe it is now.
They're just the normal athletes.
Nope.
It's the other. Every other sport has got the prima donnas.
They're pampered just like the rest of yous.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Maybe Cassidy was over the top. Who knows? Didn't take long for him to find a job. Meanwhile, the Bruins, they got a head coach? No, they don't, do they? All right, listen, we come back. Andy Hart, we teased this yesterday because he was talking about the New England Patriots. And he said he wanted to put this list together, like he does every single year, ranking the roster. And I believe you told us that after four, it gets really, really difficult. Well, you put the article out. He ranked the roster 1 through 87. 87 players. We'll tell you what it was. It's next.
I'm roofingma.com.
Did you know there's a space channel?
One of the most exciting projects in